The number of dairy farms in Wisconsin has dropped by nearly 50% in the last 15 years, with a record number of farms closing last year. Low milk prices have put farmers under a lot of pressure and brought mental health issues into the spotlight. A new project in the western part of the state is aimed at suicide prevention for farmers. The Southwestern Wisconsin Community Action Program and the Suicide Prevention Coalition of Iowa County plan to create a mobile crisis service and train people on how to recognize and respond to mental health problems in their own families and neighborhoods. Susan Springer Judd is the director of the Suicide Prevention Coalition of Iowa County. She's with us now in the studio. Susan, thanks a lot for coming up today.
Thanks for having us.
We've talked a lot on the show about the economic pressure on farmers, the farm closures we've been seeing. What kind of impacts are you seeing that have when it comes to mental health in rural communities?
Well, in rural communities, we have a culture that you're really resilient. You take care of yourself and you don't have to rely on other people to help you through things. And that's what's kind of given us the problem, because that's kind of an older way of thinking, and we need to change that way of thinking and the stigmas related to asking for help and reaching out for help. When it comes to mental health issues, stress, depression, anxiety, because of the hard times, the farmers always have hard times, but specifically more amplified in the last year or two.
And I know it may be kind of hard to keep accurate statistics about suicide among farmers, but in your sense, being part of the community, are you seeing this as a growing problem?
It's a problem that's always been there, unfortunately. However, there is definitely a light being shined on it more due to all of the financial pressures that have been happening and a lot of the, like you said, farm closures just in the last year. I think Wisconsin had 691 farms that have went out of business for different reasons, but it is definitely being amplified more.
Now, in a way that a lot of jobs, I think, aren't, farming, it seems like, is really part of somebody's personal identity. They might have grown up on the farm they're
Definitely.
Working now, or grown up as a farmer and have another farm right now. Mm-hmm. Does that make it, when the farm is in economic trouble, does that make it even harder for mental health?
Yeah, I think the problem with that is it's not like a typical behind-the-desk job where you can maybe transfer, relocate, or find another job. These farms, a lot of them have been in their families for generations. So by them stopping farming or finding another career, they would not only feel like they're letting down themselves, but their children who would like to possibly go into farming, and their parents and grandparents or great-grandparents, depending on how long the farm has been in generationally in their family. So there's a lot of extra pressure on farmers.
Not to keep stacking up challenges here, but we've talked on the show about difficulties finding mental health treatment in rural Wisconsin, addiction treatment, all sorts of things that are harder to find in some rural communities than they might be, say, in a city. Is that another part of the problem?
That is a fraction of the problem that I have to agree with. However, I think our biggest problem with suicide specifically, mm-hmm. we'll talk suicide, is the comfort level with firearms. A lot of people in rural areas, myself included, in our home, we have numerous firearms. Some people carry them around in their trucks if they need to maybe shoot a coyote or something, and they're very comfortable using them. We grew up doing target practice. We've had hunter safety. A lot of people hunt. So just also the comfortability with firearms. And Wisconsin's very well known culturally for their alcohol consumption. So if we combine the alcohol consumption with the comfort and accessibility to firearms, on top of limited resources or maybe the culture of not feeling comfortable asking for the resources, it is shown to be a very, very deadly mixture.
Talking to Susan Springer Judd, director of the Suicide Prevention Coalition of Iowa County. Susan, the challenge, very big, obviously, in a lot of ways. So how, in what you do already and in this new effort, how are you going to try to reach out to farmers to help prevent suicide?
Well, what we're doing now is, and we have been doing since we started in about 2014, is breaking down the stigmas. Number one, of the myth that you're weak if you reach out and ask for help. A lot of people know it's very hard to ask for help, so it's obviously, it takes a strong person to ask for help and talk about problems. But just educating the community and family members along with the farmers, but the husbands go with the wives, the children, the teachers, the doctors, on something called QPR, which is question, persuade, refer. And it's a very easy technique that can be learned in an hour and a half. And we're just educating everybody so they know what signs to look for and then how to get that person help. And also we do a lot of pushing of online resources. Maybe there's therapy groups, maybe there's different things that they can get online or chat, online chats, that are accessible more so than a therapist or something else in their area.
So what, on a practical level, does this work like? Do you convene a meeting of farmers and families somewhere? Do you go from farm to farm? How does this happen?
Well, if I could just split myself in, you know, sure, a million different, you know, parts, that would be great. But what we do is we'll have QPR trainings in the communities. We also do a lot through the schools where we do sports nights, where you'll have a sporting event, and a lot of times they'll do it for different causes, and they do suicide prevention. We give t-shirts out to all of the kids that are participating or playing, and on those t-shirts that have resources, phone numbers, apps for their phones, websites, things that they can access from home. So those families and kids turn into walking billboards in their communities. We also do a lot with letters to the editor through your newspapers, which is free. We do we have a web page. We do different things in the community where people are already gathering and try to educate them there.
Do you see, as you reach out, are people talking about these issues, suicide or the fear of suicide, in a way that they didn't previously?
I think so. I'd have to say when we first started in our very first basketball game, we did a sports night, and we did it in my hometown. My daughter played in Dodgeville. And I really thought I'd get some backlash for even bringing it up and making it public, because we had little statistics announced throughout the game, and we did, you know, we threw out some t-shirts and gave them away, did a collection, and we had nothing but positive feedback. Everybody was so glad that someone was finally starting a conversation, bringing it out into the light, and that has just blown up. This last month, we had Lafayette County, Mental Health Matters of Lafayette County, partnered with us, and we did 8 different basketball games, which contacted 16 different towns in like 4 different counties, and it just exploded. We had over 1,000 shirts that are out in these communities now, which are walking billboards, like I said, with the hotline numbers, a lot of information on them.
Is part of what needs to happen, not just people being able to reach out for help, but breaking a silence about suicides that tragically have already happened?
Yes, for sure. And a lot of people don't feel comfortable talking about the suicides that have happened in their families because of the shame and the stigma. And it shouldn't be there. They should be able to talk about it. And they should be able to grieve like anybody else with any other loss. But they at times feel like they can't because of the embarrassment. And people not meaning to sometimes say some very hurtful or negative things when they find out it is a suicide. So I'm glad that people are talking, people are accepting it as a problem and needing to look into it more.
So what kind of things in this, I think it was called QPR training, for someone who has a family member and they think, I don't know, maybe I'm worried, I don't know what to do. What are the first kind of steps that they can take?
The first step is find a quiet spot, have plenty of time to talk to the person and sit and listen and ask the person directly, you know, I'm really worried about you. Do you plan on hurting yourself? Do you plan on killing yourself? Have you thought about suicide? And talk about it directly. That'll open up the communication. It starts the communication flowing. The person knows you're a safe person to talk to because you ask them, and it will relieve the stress and anxiety off of them. And what you do is sit back and just listen. Let them talk all they want. And then find your resources, find your 800 numbers, refer them to a professional. There's a lot of stuff online. On our website, we have a ton of stuff. There's, like I said, there's live chats. There's groups that you can do through Skype or FaceTime. There's a lot of different resources online if you can't get to something immediately in your area. If someone actually has a tool of suicide, maybe a stockpile of pills or a gun or something like that, then you should call for help immediately if they're in the process of it. Then you call for help and call 911 and get services that way. But if you're just thinking about it, open up the communication, start the conversation, and get the person help.
And what do you say to the person who might be listening and maybe at risk themselves and thinks, I don't want to be a bother? You know, it's not me. I don't need help from anybody.
Right. Well, you know, it never hurts to make that phone call. And if somebody is thinking about suicide right now, I just want to let them know that all that pain and anguish they're feeling, they're going to pass on to their family members and their friends. And that's something that the family members can never get rid of, because you're not there to help them through it. But just to reach out, ask someone. And if you want to do it privately, call the 1-800 number. Call the 1-800 number. Go on the chat lines. There's different ones for veterans. There's different ones for LGBTQ. There's all kinds of them out there that are accessible for people to use that can specialize in certain areas.
Now, if there's somebody with a community group maybe elsewhere in rural Wisconsin who says, yeah, this sounds great, we want to start doing it, how would you recommend they get started with a local effort?
I would love it if they would get going with a local effort. If you go to our website, it's suicide-iowacounty.com. WI.org. There's an email address on there, and there's different things that they can find. Email me and I will send you a sheet. I have a whole list, and I can put it on the website too, of how to start one in your own community, where to start reaching out to. I started out with simply just emailing different agencies, the police officers, our social workers, teachers, law enforcement, and kind of started from there. And we have over 750 people in our email, just our email labels, and then that I send out our monthly newsletter to, and then through the schools there's like 485 that we send out to every month.
Susan, thanks so much for coming up and telling us about this. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having us, and thanks for shedding some light on the situation.
Susan Springer Judd is director of the Suicide Prevention Coalition of Iowa County, part of a coalition effort there working on mental health awareness and suicide prevention in farming communities. By the way, she mentioned an 800 number. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. You can also text, apparently, 741-741.